I'm Michelle. Welcome to the Umbilical Cord of the Gourd, where I listen to my best friend Maggie tell some stories.
Hi, I'm Maggie. I tell stories.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
So you know what, Maggie?
What?
This will be our 10th episode, which is not a monumental achievement for most other podcasts, but this is probably the thing that we have followed through the most on in our lives together.
One day we should read our entries from the vegetable blog that we never wrote.
So I think this is a pretty, like, grand achievement for us.
Yeah. Definitely.
So what do you think we need to do to celebrate that?
So I think what we're going to do today is the reason we started doing this podcast, or maybe more the reason that this podcast works and the reason that our friendship works, is that I love repeating the same story 87 times and annoying people. And Michelle has no ability to remember stories whatsoever.
I have very limited ability to remember most things.
So most people get annoyed because all of the stories that we've said over the podcast are ones that I've told most people in my life 3 or 4 times. But Michelle doesn't care.
Yeah, we're going to basically like switch up the format of our pod just a little bit and tell you a story that is not from Maggie's life, but is a real story that many of you will know. She retold me this whole story when I went to visit her in Germany.
Michelle and I were in East Germany and we decided to go for a hike. And for some reason, we got off the train at the wrong place. I'm not sure. There weren't really any mountains around where we thought they were supposed to be. But we saw one mountain sort of in the distance. It was kind of small and it looked a lot like if a nipple was turned into a mountain.
It had like a little rock at the top that was like bald so that you can like clearly see that it was a nipple.
Yeah. And I said, hey, do you remember in Holes, the movie and book beloved from the childhoods of many, there was this like mountain in the desert and they called it God's thumb because, and I'm acting this out right now, they put their thumb out and they looked at the mountain and it looked like their thumb. And I said, do you think this is God's nipple?
Okay, Maggie. Literally up until right now, I actually thought that God's nipple was in the story.
You thought this children's book had a story about God's nipple? Okay, so this is an example of how Michelle's really bad at remembering stories.
And I've read this book I checked it out multiple times as a kid, and I've watched the movie.
So 5 years ago, Michelle was visiting. We saw God's nipple, which led us to realize that she forgot every detail of the story. And I apparently remember every detail of the story, even though I have not watched this movie or read this book in, I don't know, a decade. So we just spent an hour with her asking me questions and me going plot point by plot point by plot point through the saga of Stanley Yelnats.
Which was really lovely because it was like I was reliving childhood me reading the story. And also getting Maggie's perspective on it. So I had no idea like how much of it was like true to the story or how much of it Maggie made up. But we're going to try this again and see if it works in a podcast form. So why don't we start with like, when did you read the story / watch the movie? And like, what did your child brain think about it?
I think I actually saw the movie first because it was like a book that my brother really liked. And I don't think I'd heard of it or I don't think I'd read it. The book was always around. And I remember that I thought the story took place on the moon because of the cover art.
The cover art was great.
But also, like, take a look. Like, let's Google it really quickly.
Okay.
And then.
Yeah, you're right.
So that was like my first thought was, I don't care about this boy who lives on the moon. Then we went and saw the movie. And I think it was just like a thing where I kind of got dragged along to the movie.
Like with your family?
Yeah, it was just like we were going to a movie and that's the one we went to. And I saw it and I was like, I love this. And I went home and I immediately read the whole book. And I feel like that was when I was in fourth grade.
Like, why was it, what attracted it about it? Was it like the characters or the like, because I know like we've talked about, you know, everything is illuminated and the whole like kind of back and forth with like the generational time skip kind of things, yeah. and how like things that your ancestors have done impacts you today, that kind of thing.
I think the latter, but I think a little less philosophical for my 10-year-old brain. I think I just like I really liked how like complex and like layered the story was, and that like every chapter was sort of a different like. There was something different going on, but it was always kind of the same thing that came together at the end. And I was like, cool, which is why I like really like mind fucking movies now, which really do like a lot to depress me because there are no happy mind fuck movies. So I think that's what I really liked is like the like, ooh, I can pay attention to everything. And like, there's so much going on.
And then every time you like reread it, it like you notice a new detail. Yeah.
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 Totes.
Tis my goat.
Totes my goats. And then I moved, like, the summer after it came out to Greensboro and had what was easily the least happy year of my life. I had no friends. And there was that, like, soundtrack that was out. And I, like, my mom bought the sound. Because the soundtrack to the Holes movie fucking slaps. It's
oh, really?
It's incredible. It's so good.
What's that song that's like, like
Yeah, so one there was like an original song where like everybody on the cast like had a or like all of the, like the kids on the cast like had a verse.
Were they actually like kids or were they
teenage? I mean, I think they were like 16, yeah.
Like how old was Stanley? What's his real name?
Shia LaBeouf.
Oh yeah. He is so much different now.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on. Yeah.
Anyway, your mom gave you the soundtrack.
My mom bought the soundtrack and we listened to it a lot. It was hers. She was very clear about that. So I moved, I had no friends. And then people were like, really loved this original cast song, but they only knew one of the verses. But because I listened to the soundtrack all the time, I knew all of the verses. And they were like, do-do-do-do-do. And I was like, let's sing the other verses. And they were like, no. What are you doing here?
Oh, Maggie.
It was very sad. Oh. Yeah. So those are my childhood reflections on Holes.
Okay, so how does Stanley Yelnats end up in this like Holes prison place? What did he do?
I can't tell by your voice. Do you really not remember this?
I really don't. Like, there might be shoes. There might be shoes involved.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he was walking down the street and a pair of shoes hit him in the head. And he picked them up and was like, what? I kept walking. He was holding the shoes. And then some police came and they arrested him and they were like, you stole these shoes from an orphanage fundraiser. And he was like, what? They hit me in the head. So the shoes were from some football player called Sweet Feet. I don't remember his real name, his whole name. And they had been at an auction fundraiser event for an orphanage and someone stole them. Stanley's story, he was an only child and he lived with his mother, his father, and his grandfather. And his father's lifetime goal was to make the cure for foot odor. So to make like a spray that makes foot odor go away.
I forgot how like foot centric this story was.
I also did. It's all there in my brain, but I never put that together that this is a really foot centered story.
You think the author had like a foot fetish, especially for like athlete's foot?
I think it reads more of a trauma thing, right? I think he really, I think he had at some point in his life was really scarred by really smelly feet.
Or he was ashamed of his own feet.
Yeah. 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 And how bad they smelled. And his dream was that someone would invent a cure for bad smelling feet.
Have they? Has anyone?
Have they invented a cure for poop smell? So I feel like foot smell is within reach. Right?
Stanley's father, where are you?
Stanley's father was also named Stanley Yelnats. Stanley Yelnats that we think of is Stanley Yelnats the third.
Okay.
So he lived with his mom, grandfather, dad. House was full of just smelly shoes. Their house reeked of shoes.
I am so upset by that.
Yeah. So he goes to court. They're like, no, you clearly stole these shoes. Instead, you can either go to prison or you can go to this camp for boys to like rehabilitate you and teach you lessons or something. So he decides to go to the camp. It's called Camp Green Lake. And he gets there and like throughout the movie, he's sort of writing letters home to his parents about how like nice camp is and how like they're going out on boats. But he gets there And it's just a camp where every day they have to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and then drive into the desert and dig holes. And the holes have to be 5 feet deep by 5 feet wide, which they can judge that because of the length of the shovels.
Whoa. That's such a specific detail.
It's not like because, well, no, that's no less specific. There's like one shovel that's a little shorter. And so X-Ray, who's one of the other boys at the camp, is like, this is my shovel. So I can dig a hole that's 2 inches shorter than everyone else's hole every day.
Why? Because he rules the prison gang?
I think it's, yeah, so there's like this thing. So like for when Stanley first gets there, there's a group of maybe, I don't know, 10 or something guys. I could probably do the rap and figure out how many of them there are.
Just tell me any characters that actually matter later.
Zero's the only one who really, really matters. The other one, like, their characters. But, like, I think their names are interesting. So there's X-Ray because he wears glasses. There's Armpit because he has smelly armpit. All of them have nicknames. And so the only people's names you really know in the book are Stanley Yelnats and Hector Zeroni. So Hector Zeroni is Zero. That's his nickname. Stanley Yelnats is Caveman?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember why he's Caveman, though.
Maybe he's really hairy. What is the deal with... Okay, there were several things I want to ask about.
Okay.
Number one is, like, the warden.
Yeah. She's a lady. She's a little mysterious. She's mean.
Okay.
But she's kind of, like, sweet mean. Mean. There was her. There was... And then there
Isn't
were two...
Isn't there a dude?
There were two dudes. There was a skinny guy named Teacher. Maybe. And there was an ugly guy who loves sunflower seeds. Mr. Sir was his name.
Okay, there's something about showers.
Yeah. They had shower tokens in the movie. He's like showering and then the water turns off mid-shower. Armpit doesn't shower, that's why he smells.
But his feet are fine.
I assume his feet are also bad.
And then like, what about the lizards?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there are yellow spotted lizards.
Is that a real thing?
No, it is not. In the movie, they actually just use bearded dragons.
They paint them?
Yes, they did. They painted yellow spots on them. So like the ones in the movie are not at all poisonous, but there's no such thing as a yellow spotted dragon, the lizard. In the book, they're poisonous. And they're, like, everywhere. But they're kind of scared of you. But you got to be really careful. And they hang out in dark places.
Like holes.
Like holes. Yeah. All right. So they have to dig holes every day. Stanley's really bad at digging holes. Because apparently if you grow up in a house full of smelly shoes, nobody teaches you work ethic.
So, like, this camp, did they tell them, like, what the holes were for? Or was it, like, more just, like... This builds your character.
That's exactly what they said. They just said it's a character building exercise. And you could, as soon as you got your hole dug, you could go inside.
Oh, so you just have to dig one hole a day?
Every day you have to dig 1 5-foot by 5-foot hole.
Okay.
Which becomes a conflict because Stanley's really bad at digging holes. And so the other really important character is this Zero, Hector Zeroni. And he's really good at digging holes, but he doesn't talk to anyone.
Oh.
And he can't read. And at some point, he and Stanley, like, kind of become friends. And he starts, like, talking a little bit to Stanley. And like, Stanley learns he can't read. So they make an agreement that Stanley will teach him how to read if he will help dig Stanley's hole. Yeah. So every day, Zero finishes his hole way before Stanley. And then Zero helps Stanley finish his hole. And in exchange, Stanley teaches him how to read. When Stanley gets there, nobody likes him at first because he's a new guy. And then he does something... And then they start calling him Caveman because they're like, ah, that was cool. And he becomes one of the boys. Mm-hmm. But then Stanley at one point steals a bag of sunflower seeds from Mr. Sir. No, X-Ray steals them and they're throwing them around from person to person and eating his seeds. But then they throw it at Stanley and it just falls all over the ground into his hole. And then Stanley gets in trouble and Mr. Sir's mean.
Okay, so then what happened?
So then at one point, Teacher... The skinny guy, whatever his name is, we're going to call him skinny guy. The skinny guy who works at the camp is making fun of Zero. Also, the reason Zero's nickname was Zero is twofold. One, his last name was Zeroni. Mm-hmm. But two, he was a Zero because nobody cared about him.
Also, he had zero parents.
Yes. So he was a warden of the state since he had no parents. And yeah.
So what was his crime? Like, how did he get into this camp?
You find out when he's in reading classes, because Stanley was like, why do you help me dig my hole?
Didn't he actually steal the shoes?
Yeah. So Zero stole the shoes, and then cops started coming, so he threw him off a bridge. They hit Stanley in the head. And then the next day he got, like, caught stealing a pair of shoes from Payless. And that's how Zero got there, for just a cheaper pair of shoes. Also, I forgot an important part of Stanley's, like, family history, which is that his, like, great-grandfather, maybe, his dirty, rotten, stinking great-grandfather or something, I can't remember, great-great-grandfather, something like that, had done something bad. I can't remember what bad thing he did, but then there was a curse on all of the men in the family that they would have bad luck forever, which is why his dad can't find the cure for shoes.
Aww. What was his grandpa's bad luck?
I think just generally nothing really worked out for him. He seemed like, I don't think there was a lot of backstory with his grandfather. Just he was always like, that's bad. I think his grandfather was played by Henry Winkler as well. So that's something. Yeah, so like Stanley's unlucky thing is that he got hit in the head by the pair of very expensive stolen shoes and then had to go to prison camp. Happens to the best of us. So Stanley's teaching him how to read. And at one point, Skinny guy who works at camp is making fun of Zero and for how he can't read, I think. And he's like, C-A-T, what does that spell? And Zero's just standing there silently because he doesn't talk to anyone but Stanley.
But that's after Stanley, like, taught him what C-A-T was.
Yeah.
So he knew what C-A-T was. He just didn't want to respond to Skinny.
Yeah, so Skinny's being a dick and like, C-A-T. And then Zero hits him in the head with a shovel, and then he falls down, and Zero says, cat, and then he runs away, just into the desert. And then, like, there's some conversation between all the adults who work there, and they're basically like, no one's ever going to notice that he's gone, because nobody cares about him, because he's a Zero, he's a nothing. And then Stanley's like, I care about him. And then they keep living their lives, and at one point, they bring a water tank out, like, on a truck out to the holes every day. And there's a kid who came to replace, to like take Hector's spot, who loved stealing cars. And he got arrested for stealing a car. After he gets there, Stanley gets the idea and he steals this truck. When they come out for water, he like hops in the truck, steals it, and he's gonna like go out and find Hector in the truck. Then he immediately drives the truck into a hole. So the other thing that like I haven't been doing a lot of thus far, by a lot I mean literally any, like I've done none of this, is saying that there are actually three different like storylines, timelines that their story is telling in parallel, even though they happened at different times in human history. So the main storyline is the one of this like boys' prison camp. There is also the storyline. I said earlier that I couldn't remember what his great-grandfather had done. I remembered there is the story of the time that his dirty, rotten, pig-stealing great-great-grandfather walked out on a promise that he made once to basically like a witch lady, but a nice witch lady.
But that's how they got cursed, right?
That's how they got cursed, yeah.
Okay.
So there's that, and then there is the love story of Kate.
Is it like the teacher or whatever?
Yeah, Kate Bartlett and Sam. I'm going to start with the grandfather.
Okay, because you've already talked about him a little bit.
Yeah. So the dirty, rotten, pig-stealing great-great-grandfather. So he was really in love with this woman in his village in, like, I'm going to say Ukraine. I don't know where. Poland? Let's go with Poland. What does Yelnats sound like? Polish?
I feel like it's a little more Ukrainian than Polish.
Sure.
But it also sounds like Borat.
So Kazakh? So somewhere in not America, his dirty, rotten, pig-stealing great-great-grandfather fell in love with a woman from his village. And he went to her father and said, I would like to marry your daughter. Father was like, okay, but I'm going to need a really fat pig. I will only give you my daughter if you will give me a fat pig.
Whoa.
Your eyes got really big. I assume you don't remember this storyline.
No, not at all.
So he is like, cool, I really need a fat pig. Because apparently there was this other guy who was like really, really big and disgusting and sloppy who was also in love with this woman.
And he was a fat pig, so he like automatically qualified.
Yes, but I think he also raised pigs, so he had a fat pig. But then so Dirty Rotten Pig Stealing Great-Great-Grandfather was like, cool, gotta get the fattest pig. And he goes to this woman in the village who's like a witch or something. And her name is Madame Zeroni. He's like, Madame Zeroni, I need the fattest pig. And she said, okay, I can give you the fattest pig, but every day I need you to hike me to the top of the mountain. No, sorry, that's a lie. I mixed that up. She was like, I'll give you the pig, but or I'll fatten this pig for you. But after you like win this girl, you have to carry me to the top of the mountain and let me drink from the spring water, which will like give me energy or life or something.
Like just once.
I think just once. Yeah. Just okay. Once. And he was like, sold. So like months go by or however long it takes to fatten a pig. I don't have a lot of experience in that field.
But it was one of this other guy's pigs.
No, it was his pig or her pig. The ownership of the pig escapes me, but it was the pig that he would then give to.
Okay.
The father in order to marry this girl. Whoever's pig gets really fat. And then the grandfather takes it to the dad.
Father of the bride.
The father of the bride. And he's like, and the other gross man also brings his pig and they weigh it. And it's like, which one is really close? And in the end, Dirty Rotten Pig Stealing Great Great Grandfather wins. But he is very keenly aware in this moment that this woman was like, oh, who will win? And I will marry that person and be happy with that person. I guess this is what my Ukrainian accent sounds like. I know a lot of Ukrainians. I don't know why I did that. So then he is like, I won't marry you because you don't love me. I'm in love with you and you would be okay marrying this man. So then he just gets on a ship and goes to
but
America.
He's like, what, never talked to her before?
Yeah. I mean, he was not without his faults, right? He just saw this beautiful woman and was like, I will marry her. And her dad was like, give me a pig. And he was like, I will give her a pig and she will love me. But then he was like upset.
That she didn't know him at all.
Yeah. and that she also wanted her dad to have a nice pig.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So he gets on a ship, goes to America. But two things. I forgot a point. Which was that when he carried her to the top of the mountain, he was supposed to sing her a song. She, I think, would sing the song to the pig every day. And then when he carried her to the top of the mountain to drink from the spring water, he was supposed to sing her the song.
To make her big and fat.
To make her big and strong, yeah.
Okay. But he didn't sing the song or what?
He didn't bring her to the top of the mountain because he was so upset after this woman didn't love him that he got on a ship.
But she did everything she was supposed to.
Yeah, but he did not.
What a bitch.
So that's why he had a curse on his family.
Good.
Yeah, bitches.
Vindication.
Vindication. Bitches. So he had a kid, and he, when the kid was a baby and he would sing it songs, you know, he sing baby songs. He would sing the song that he was supposed to sing with her, and his wife was like, what is the song? Because his wife didn't speak, I don't know, Ukrainian. And so he translated it into English. And then they would sing it as a lullaby to their children. And that got passed down through the generations. And the song went, if only the woodpecker cries, the bark on the moon is as soft as the skies. The wolf sits below, hungry and lonely. He cries to the moon, if only, if only.
Oh, do you know how the tune goes?
So, like, first of all, in the book, there is no tune because that's how the book
works. Of course. Like, okay, you didn't read the book first. I was like, did you have a different tune when you read it?
No, because I watched the movie first. But the movie tune goes like, if only the woodpecker.
No, like your interpretation.
You asking me to just write some music right now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like,
do you want me to, like, can you lay down a beat for me?
if only the woodpecker cries, the bark on the tree was as soft as the skies. The wolf is below, hungry, lonely, cries to the moon. If only, if only.
Is that what you wanted?
That just sounded a little bit like the Elf King. Is that what your default is?
I think I didn't. I wasn't meaning to go for Elf King at all. I think it got more and more Elf King the longer I went.
Similar energy. Okay, so this lullaby has been passed down from generation to generation into Stanley Yelnat's ears.
Yeah. Anyways, so that's the first, like, that's the oldest story.
Okay.
In all of these stories. What's the second one? So the second one is a story of kissing Kate Bartlett. And it starts in Green Lake, Arizona?
Let's call it Arizona.
Green Lake, Arizona, where there is a nice green lake and there's a small town.
Okay, so this place that they've been digging holes used to actually have water.
Yeah, it used to be a lake, but the lake done dried up.
But then people, like, fucked shit up and drained this lake.
Yeah, droughts or whatever. I think it was droughts. I think it just hadn't rained. Yeah, it hadn't rained in a very long time.
There was some, like, racial shit going on with this story, wasn't there?
A lot of racial shit going on with the story.
Oh.
So in this small town, there's, like, a schoolhouse, and there's a teacher, and she teaches both, like, children and, like, adult reading at night. And the schoolhouse, there's always something wrong with it. And so there's a black guy in town, and his name is Sam. And he does kind of two things with his time. One is that, so he goes up this mountain every day to get red onions that are fresh from the mountain, because the yellow-spotted lizards, they hate red onions. So if you eat a lot of red onions, they won't fuck with you.
Sploosh is red onions?
It is red onions and peaches.
I don't, that changes my whole opinion on Sploosh, because I thought it was yellow onions.
Maybe it was yellow onions. The cover art that we looked up at the beginning had red onions on it.
Wait, did it? But I think that's just the sunset coloring the onions.
You and I, we don't have to agree on what color onions they were.
That just, like, changes my whole perspective on how delicious Sploosh is.
Do you not like red onions?
Not, okay, so I like pickled red onions.
Okay.
But if I was gonna mix any onion with peaches, it would be a yellow onion. Or if I were to eat any onion whole from the ground, it would be a yellow onion.
Have you ever had a fresh onion?
What does that mean?
So, like, when I was living in Florida, there was this vegetable stand I used to go to all the time. You've heard
that
me talk about it.
To many times.
I love this vegetable stand. But there was, like, a specific season that was onion season. And so most of the onions that we get in stores are several months old. Yeah, they basically, like, put them in a place where they aerate them enough that, like, they're not molding.
A fresh onion, is it more like a scallion kind of?
It's like a scallion. It's exactly like a scallion, but giant. Really changed my perspective on onions. And I always liked onions. Fresh onions are so delicious. Fresh onions are so tasty. I would eat the ones that they have in Florida that are accessible are white. So, you know, already pretty sweet. I would just, like, this was the first time, because there's a reasonable amount of time in holes where they're just, like, eating raw onions out of the ground. We'll get to that later. But when I ate this onion, I was like, oh, I get it now. So there's some color of onion. He goes up to the mountain and he brings it down. And he makes, like, he puts it with peaches. And he's like, this is my secret cure if you eat this. And he sells people this onion peach mix.
And that keeps the lizards away?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's one of the things he does with his time. And the other thing he does is he's always doing repairs around the schoolhouse where Kate is the teacher. And so, like, in the movie, I don't remember how it is in the book. In the movie, there's basically this time where the window will be funky and he'll be like, I can fix that.
Because that's, like, his, like, tagline or catchphrase, right?
It's like, I can fix that. Okay. And then there's a scene in the movie, and I think it's also in the book, where she's reading with a child, and she's reading Annabelle Lee, the Poe poem, which is a weird poem to read to a child.
Wait, what was that poem? Because I think I read that, but I don't remember what.
It was many and many a year ago in a kingdom by the sea that a maiden there lived who you may know by the name of Annabelle Lee. and this maiden she lived with no other thought than to love and be loved by me. I was a child, she was a child, in this kingdom by the sea, but we loved with a love that was more than love, I and my Annabelle Lee. With a love that the winged seraphs of heaven coveted her and me, and this was the reason that long ago, in this kingdom by the sea, a wind blew out of a cold chilling, my beautiful Annabelle Lee, so that her high-born kinsmen came and bore her away from me, to shut her up in a sepulchre in that kingdom by the sea. The angels, not half so happy in heaven, went envying her and me. Yes, that was the reason, as all men know in this kingdom by the sea, that the wind came out of a cloud by night, chilling and killing my Annabelle Lee. But our love, it was stronger by far than the love of those who are older than we, of many far wiser than we. And neither the angels in heaven above nor the demons down under the sea can ever dissever my soul from soul, from the soul of the beautiful Annabelle Lee. For the moon never beams without bringing me dreams of the beautiful Annabelle Lee, and the stars never rise, but I feel the bright eyes of the beautiful Annabelle Lee. And so, all of the night tide, I lay down by the side of my darling, my life and my bride, in her sepulchre there by the sea, in her tomb by the sounding sea.
Oh, she just died by freezing.
Yeah, she died by wind. But so we read this in Amstead in my high school American history class. And my teacher was like, everyone thinks this poem is so beautiful. And everyone in my class was like, we remember this from Holes. And he was like, this song is about somebody's wife dying. And he wants to fuck his dead wife's corpse. Because the end of this poem is basically like, every night I crawl into her tomb and we cuddle and go to sleep because our love is stronger than death. Also very Poe, right? Like,
yeah.
Everyone's like, wow, Poe has this one really beautiful. No, like, this is deeply fucked up.
Yeah.
But so the part in Holes was the second chunk, and it was, I was a child and she was a child in this kingdom by the sea. That was Kate reading it, and he's like fixing a window and he goes, but we loved with a love that was more than love. And then they look at each other and they go, I and my Annabelle Lee. Aww. So that's like their love story. Then at one point they kiss, and there's a guy in the village who like owns the whole town. And he gets really upset because he wants her to be his lady. And so after he sees them kiss, which also I think I said this, but I might not have, Sam's black.
And Kate is white.
And Kate is white, yeah.
And so this was really frowned upon at the time.
In the olden days, genau. Or that was German, exactly. So after he sees them kissing, he burns down the schoolhouse at night. And then as Sam is like riding his boat across the lake with all of his onions and peaches, somebody from the town shoots and kills him. And his boat flips over, he falls into the lake, which is a turning point for two reasons. One, from that moment on, it never again rained in Green Lake. Two, that was the day that Kate Bartlett turned evil. Also, a bell just went off in my apartment.
Wait, what do you mean she turned evil?
Did you forget this?
Yes!
You forgot this very pivotal.
All I remember was she was a teacher and her windows were broken.
Yeah, this is a crucial component of this story. Oh. The day after they kill Sam, she wakes up and she goes into the sheriff's office. Also because the sheriff was like, I can't do anything. And was no help at all. She goes into the sheriff's office and I forget the order. I think she shoots him and then she kisses him. She puts on lipstick and she kisses him on the head.
Oh, so she becomes like a serial killer.
She becomes like this, like she has like a band of people and they ride horses around the desert and they steal people's shit and then but she always kisses them. I think it's almost always men as well. And that's when she became known as Kissing Kate Bartlett.
Okay.
That's all very important. So, coming back to our other storyline, our other side storyline. At one point, the grandfather is talking about how bad their family's curse is. And he's like, yeah, well, my Maybe the pig stealing guy was like great, 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 great. Somebody in the recent past, maybe his father, had actually made a lot of money in stocks and bonds and had been traveling on a carriage in Arizona. And I like
how we're putting the law on Arizona right now.
And the Ukraine.
Yeah.
But he was traveling and guess who he stumbled upon?
Kissing Kate.
Kissing Kate. And so she killed all of his men, but then he was like, I love my child. Let me go home. And so she didn't kill him. But she did steal all his shit. And so that's really important. Super important. It'll come in later. But don't forget about the man who owned the town who wanted to kiss her. That's all I'll tell you. Now we're going to go back to the current Stanley.
Okay. He stole a truck.
He stole a truck, drove it into a hole, and then he just got out and ran. Also just ran into the desert. Which then became much more concerning than when Zero had run away, because Stanley has parents. And parents tend to notice if their child dies. But I forgot actually to tell you that one thing that happened during, like, when they were digging holes was that Stanley found, it was like his second day or something, Stanley was digging, and if they found anything in any of these holes, they were supposed to tell the warden.
Okay.
And so Stanley was digging, and he found what looked like maybe a bullet case or like something, like a metal tube.
Like small? Like
a finger-sized metal thing.
Okay.
And it had the initials KB on it.
Oh.
And if you found something, you got the rest of the day off. Okay. So he was going to tell them, but then X-Ray, not Zero, X-Ray, was like, no, fuck that. Number one, I've been digging holes forever and I've never found anything. So you're going to give that to me. Number two, I'm going to wait until tomorrow and say I found it first thing in the morning. So I get the whole day off. Because if you gave it right now, you'd only get like a couple hours off.
Okay.
X-Ray knows his shit.
Yeah.
So they brought it the next day. And he was like, look what I found. And they went to the warden and they were like, look. And the warden was like, perfect. We're digging up everything. So they go back to the hole where he had been that day.
Because they think that X-Ray found it.
Yeah. And on the day after, okay, where the actual one was. So also X-Ray got an extra shower token. So he was able to take a day off and take a shower. Yeah. So they went and then she was like, we're digging up everything. So they just dig that entire area where that.
Like
where
they the, being the everyone, warden or the
literally
campers?
Literally everyone. Oh, so for okay. like weeks, every day the campers go back to that same spot and they're digging shit. And they're like, what are we looking for? What are we looking for? We don't know. And she's just like, keep digging. And then they can't find anything and eventually they give up. Okay. She's very upset. Also, it's important to note that the donkey of Sam was named Mary Lou.
Okay. Wasn't that the boat?
As was the boat.
Oh.
And so Stanley is running into the desert and he's like running and running and a little confused. And then like he sees sort of like a upside down boat with legs sticking out of it. And they're Zero's legs.
What?
Wait, did you forget this too?
Yes.
Okay.
I remember there was a boat.
So it's like the middle of the desert. There's an upside down boat. Their legs sticking out. Stanley like runs up. It's like, I found you. And Zero's like, yeah, I've been hiding out down here in this boat, which is shady.
Did it have water or is it just a boat?
It was just a boat, but you know what it did have in it?
Sploosh!
Sploosh!
That's not cum.
That's not cum. Oh gosh, that did not age well. Yeah, so Zero's like, look what, like, he was like, he cracks open a jar, and it's like a glass jar, so he breaks the lid off and hands it to Stanley, and he's like, here, have this, it's delicious. I've been calling it Sploosh. Stanley has some, he's like, oh, that's so good, give me more. And he was like, that was the last jar.
Hey, bro, I see you trying to get those gains. Leg day for you, too?
Yes, son. Only bitches skip leg day.
Squats on squats on squats! What you maxing out at these days?
I'm shooting for that nice round 250, but if I'm being honest with you, I've just been hitting a plateau. I can't break 100.
Bro, let me get you in on my secret sauce. It's called Sploosh, and it'll have you hit numbers you have never heard of before.
Dude, I'm not drinking Splooge.
Nah. Sploosh.
There's no cum in it.
I'm watching my macros, though. What's in that stuff?
That's the crazy thing. It's all real shit. It's onions and peaches, so you get all that unprocessed carbos and vitamins out the ass. Here, try some.
Sweet, man. I'm gonna gulp this down and hit the showers. You wanna come with?
For sure, bro.
If you wanna see that bulge, I mean, not that bulge, if you wanna see your muscles bulge, like your arms and legs, you gotta get that sploosh. Sploosh! For men, by men.
Not come.
And we're coming back to God's nipple now.
God's nipple.
And they see like a mountain in the back. And Stanley's like, hey, Hector. He holds out his thumb and he said, what does that mountain look like to you? And Hector said, that looks like a thumb to me. And Stanley said, my grandfather was once stranded. All of his men were killed in the desert. And he saw something that he called God's thumb. So they're like, okay, let's go to God's thumb. Nipple. We're going to call it God's nipple. That's better. Okay.
That's how I have false memories.
So they're like, let's go to God's nipple. So they start walking through the desert. They get to the foot of God's nipple.
The foot of the aerial of God's nipple.
Yes. So they get to the outskirts of the aerial of God's nipple. And then they start climbing. But remember, Hector's been out for several days now in the desert, just surviving off of 100-year-old peaches and
red or yellow onions.
Yeah. Also, when they were under the boat, he was like, Stanley, what's a marilou? And Stanley was like, what? He was like, what's a marilou? Stanley was like, what? And he was like, go look outside. The side of the boat says marilou. Stanley gets out and he says, oh, no, it's Mary Lou. Because a Y at the end of a word sounds like an E, not a Y.
Because English is the most confusing language that you could teach somebody who doesn't know how to read.
I mean, I would argue Chinese is also not that easy. I would say maybe of languages that use...
not pictures.
Yeah, like alphabets.
Letters.
Yeah. Of languages that use alphabets, English is definitely up there. That was a side note. So they're climbing up, and at one point, like, Hector, like, kind of passes out a little bit. And Stanley, like, throws him on his back and was walking up the mountain with Hector on his back.
He's going to fulfill the prophecy.
Hector is the great-great-great-grandson of Madame Zeroni. I guess he's also Ukrainian. So they get to the top. Stanley collapses. There's water everywhere. He's drinking the water. And then they find the onions. Eating the onions.
How is there water on God's thumb but not anywhere else?
No. It hadn't rained. So the lake had dried up. But the spring is a spring, right? So as long as you're not like extracting it for industrial purposes, it's usually fine. But I think basically like it can dry up sometimes, but like mountains are places where the ground is a little fucked up, right? And so like that's places where aquifers are coming out of the water, out of the ground. And.
But don't you think like there's an overall water table that's like.
Yes, but I think that usually aquifers are not so affected by that.
But aquifers I thought were like deep, 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 deep as fuck underground.
Yeah, but springs are sort of where they out.
But they don't like just seep out onto the surface before they seep out onto this mountain, like a pimple.
No, it's like a pimple. Springs are aquifer pimples.
All right, we don't have to argue about geology and hydrology that we both don't know.
I'm gonna Google this later. I'm quite curious. So get up. They're eating this. And as I said before, this song is passed down through the generations. Mm-hmm. So they're eating. Hector's coming too. And Stanley's like, if only the woodpecker cries, the bark on the tree was as soft as the skies. The wolf is below, hungry and lonely. He cries to the moon. If only, if only. They're up there. And at some point, Stanley's like, Hector, we can only stay up here for so long. And they somehow put together that, like, this tube just said KB on it was not a bullet casing or something else. It was a lipstick cover for kissing Kate Bartlett. And so they're like, okay, we're going to go down. And we're going to go back to the place where this was actually dug up. And we're going to dig there. We're going to figure out what the fuck she was looking for.
Because only Stanley at this point knows where it was actually found.
All of the guys in their group know where it was found.
Oh, okay.
But nobody else. Stanley and Hero are the only, or Zero are the only ones who have figured out that, like, okay, there's something there.
Yeah.
So they go down in the middle of the night and they steal some shovels and they go out and they start digging. They're digging and they're digging.
Wait, sing the song.
You got to go dig them holes. You got to go dig those holes. That's one guy. And then some of the other kids are like, digging uh-oh, dig it. Digging uh-oh, oh. Digging uh-oh, dig it. Digging uh-oh, oh.
Can you make that your ringtone?
So then there's one part where somebody's like, wake up in the morning and before the sun, keep digging those holes till the day's done. And then that one's, and so like, and then there's like all of these playing. So like, digging, digging, digging. Like, you got to go dig those. Wake up in the morning and before the sun, keep digging those holes till the day's done. And then somebody's, and then Armpit's verse goes, A-R-M-P-I to the T. What is that? You smell it? That's me. I don't take showers and I don't brush my teeth. All I do is dig holes, eat, and sleep.
So he's going to get like... gingivitis.
Armpit's not doing well. And then Caveman's part is like, it ends with like, check out the tag, the name's Caveman. What?
Guys, remember when Shia LaBeouf was like innocent and fun?
But it's also weird with this like weird cheesy verse he did on this rap for children movie. Is he's in addition to being, I don't know, assaulting people all the time, he's also like a world-class freestyle rapper.
What?
He's a phenomenal rapper.
What?
I don't remember why, but at one point I was like listening to an interview and somebody was like, yeah, Shia LaBeouf, he's like one of the best rappers in the world.
What?
And I was like,
I've never heard this.
What? And they were like, I mean, like from a technical standpoint, like his ability to freestyle is among the best.
Wow.
Google it.
I don't know if I want to.
We'll talk about it later. That's just a weird fact. But yeah, remember when Shia LaBeouf was like in all of my favorite things as a child and now he's like a very bad person? It's fun. Got my shovel, shoes full of sand.
They start digging the holes. They start digging them holes.
Yeah, they start digging. I won't dig it. And it doesn't take them a super long time, and they dig kind of, they were digging down for a little while, and they're like, what if we dig out? So they dig out, and then, like, they hear a clank, and they dig, and they dig, and they dig, and they pull out a chest out of the side of this hole. Then the warden and the other people come out of nowhere, and they're like, haha, thanks for finding this for us. Because the warden's grandfather owned this village. He killed Sam.
Oh.
Because he was in love with Kate Bartlett.
Okay.
So that's why she still owns Green Lake. Okay. She's always owned Green Lake. But basically, Kate Bartlett is leaning against Mary Lou. And this man comes up, the one who killed Sam, burned down the schoolhouse, and he's asked her, where is your treasure? Because she's been... like stealing from people for decades now and kissing them and has all of the stuff she's stolen from people, but she's never really bought anything. She's never really done anything with it. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I will never tell you where my treasure is. He was like, well, I will kill you. So tell me or I'll kill you. And she said, you will search and your children's children's will search and you will never find this treasure. Mm-hmm. And then while he's pointing a gun at her, she picks up a yellow spotted lizard. Mm-hmm. And she forces it to bite her arm. And then she dies.
Okay.
Then there's this flashback where the warden, as like a 7-year-old, is out like digging holes with her grandfather. And she's like, Granddaddy, it's Christmas. Why can't we go be normal human beings and celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ? And he's like, dig that damn hole, you stupid son of a bitch. And that's when you find out the warden spent basically her whole life trying to find this treasure.
Okay, but she knew that she was looking for treasure when she was digging holes as a child.
Yes, which is why when they found this, like, what they thought was a bullet, but then they found out was a lipstick casing for kissing Kate Bartlett, she was like, this is where it has to be. Because it said KB on it, so it should have been near the treasure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she knew, but no one else knew. She just convinced everyone that they were building their character and was basically like outsourcing digging holes to a bunch of children. Anyway, so flashback back to the future. Stanley and Hector have pulled this case out and they're like, haha, thanks for doing this. And then a bunch of yellow spotted lizards come out. And they're climbing all over them. So then they're sitting there for a really long time. And the sun starts rising and Stanley's parents are coming along with a lawyer because...
Because he has parents.
Because he has parents and they care.
Wait, why did they have a lawyer now and not when they when he had to go to prison for the shoes that he apparently didn't steal?
You bring up a really important question. To which I have no answer. But before the lawyer gets there, they're sitting in the hole, and the three adults who work there are all, like, staring at them. And there's a standoff because there's a bunch of lizards all over them. And at one point, Zero's like, Stanley, is your first name and your last name the same backwards? And he was like, yeah, and they keep sitting in that. And then his parents get there, with apparently also a lawyer now. And the warden's like, yeah, well, they broke into my office, and they stole my chest, and they came out here in the middle of the night. And now they're covered in yellow spotted lizards and we're so worried about them. And Stanley like is like, no, fuck that. Like you're lying. We didn't steal anything.
Like, that's not your shit.
Yeah. And also, remember that they've been eating sploosh and red onions or yellow onions.
Wait, isn't that just part of sploosh?
It is. But then they went up to the mountain and then they ate more onions.
Okay.
So the lizards don't attack him when he stands up super angry. And she's like, oh my gosh, you're okay. Give me my chest. And then Zero was like, no. She was like, what? And Zero was like, it's Stanley's. She was like, no, it's not. That's mine. And he went, it has his name on it. Because the chest was the chest from Stanley's great-grandfather, who was also named Stanley Yelnats. Who's the one who, apparently, maybe Stanley Yelnats is like the 18th Stanley Yelnats. I don't know. But when she robbed from him, she kept his chest.
Okay.
She kept all of her belongings in his chest. So when they found the chest, it said Stanley Yelnats on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zero was like, it has his name on it. And she was like, what? And he was like, Stanley Yelnats. Because now he knows what a Y does at the end of a word. So he knows it's not Stanley.
But weren't there other people there that could have read the same thing?
Yeah, but it was a big pivotal moment.
Okay.
Also because he knew. He was like, no, it's his.
Yeah.
I think one of the moments in the movie that I thought was very silly, even as a small child, I was like, this doesn't make any sense, is they pull out all of these like stocks and bonds that are quite old. And the grandfather is looking at them and he's like, Stanley, how much is this? And Stanley like looks at it and he's like, this one has to be worth $1 million.
How the fuck would he know?
Right? You just hand a piece of paper to a 16-year-old. How much is this piece of paper worth? $1 million. Checks out. What? I think that's when I learned what stocks and bonds were. I forgot one other thing. So around the same time they find the sploosh in the boat or something, also his dad, who's still experimenting with ways to make shoes not smell bad, mixes onions and peaches, puts it in a shoe, smell goes away.
What?
Yes.
Okay. I literally thought they brought the sploosh back home and that's how he saved his whole family.
They might have also brought the sploosh back home. I'm not really sure. But basically, okay. I thought it was simultaneously he discovered that peaches and onions, in addition to being the cure for yellow spotted lizards, was also the cure for foot smell.
Wait, can we make this next time?
Yes.
See how bad it tastes? You make it with red onions, I'll make it with yellow onions.
Can I pickle the red onions first? No, that would not be faithful to the story.
No.
Okay.
You just gotta, like, put them in the jar.
I feel like we should be allowed to, like, cook them, right?
But we also have to put them in shoes.
I have some smelly shoes. Anyways, so then also they bring in this guy whose shoes they stole, and he's now the spokesperson for Sploosh. I think that's everything.
No. You forgot a pivotal thing. It started raining.
Oh, yeah. After they found the thing, it started raining because...
Wouldn't it have started raining when he, like, sang the song?
No, because the rain didn't come from that curse. Right? Those what? Are two different continents where these curses happened. The song happened because of Madame Zeroni. The rain happened because Grandfather of the Warden killed Sam.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, so how did that get broken?
The bad thing happened to her, so then the good thing happened because she didn't own the bland anymore or something. And then they turned it into a Girl Scout camp.
What? Here's the only thing that I know from this. Okay. Is that the rain that they use in the movie was milk. Because apparently, like, that's how you get rain to show up on screen is you use milk.
Mm, movie magic.
Mm-hmm.
Gross. I'm just imagining being covered in milk.
Just imagine being covered in Sploosh. So my question is, like, what do you think that this has, like, added to your life?
I think it was one of the first, again, this love of layered storytelling that I have.
It was, like, one of my favorite books in middle school.
Why?
Because I think I really enjoyed this long-term shit that, like, comes back to either haunt you or bless you or whatever. Because, like, it seems so easy to set up in a book and then doesn't really happen in real life that much. So it's, like, kind of it's very, like, relatable in one way, but then, like, fantastical in a different way. So, yeah.
I think I like that, like, one of the central themes of it is, like, just be nice to people and, like, do nice things for people. And maybe that will break a centuries-long curse. And also, you can get rich with your best friend by finding a lot of stocks and bonds.
Okay, so don't burn down schools.
Be nice.
Be nice. Eat random shit that you find under a boat.
Yeah.
That's all we can take away from this.
That's what this added to my life.
Yep. So, Maggie, do you want to just give our listeners a little gist of the random word?
Ooh, do we want to do a twist on the random word?
What's the twist?
So, like, in this story, I didn't tell a story from my life. I told a story from a book.
Okay.
What if you give me a random word, and instead of me thinking of a random word of my life, I think of a random story that I know?
Okay. I like
that. Okay.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, I can't say sploosh. The random word is worm.
How to eat fried worms is, like, I think it's like, so this is a book that maybe you would read in school, like, 2 years before you read Holes.
Was it, like, part of the Scholastic Book Fair?
I think yes, but it also was one that, like, lent itself very well to, like, projects, like, cute little fun things. So the way that my school did it, I read it in, I think, third grade. And the plot of How to Eat Fried Worms is this kid makes a bet that he will eat a worm every day for 50 days.
That's so many worms.
It's so many worms. And I don't remember if he did it. I don't remember if he started making recipes with worms or what, but basically, like, that's the setup for the story. I don't remember any of the rest of the story. But one day in class, after we read it as a class, we all had to come up with a recipe that either used gummy worms or spaghetti noodles for how to eat fried worms. So we had to come up with a worm recipe and then either bring it in to class, like, make the recipe at home and bring it to school, or I think we might have just made it at school.
Okay.
So we ate worm-shaped foods at class.
So I've been just trying to Google the nutrition value of earthworms. And I'm not really getting much.
So earthworms are 90% dirt, so my guess is not great.
Worms are a high protein source.
Okay, he has to eat worms for 15 days. I did some Googling to find out the plot of this book. And if – so Billy is always doing zany things, and somebody dares him to eat a worm for 15 days. 15 worms for 15 days. Every day for 15 days, he has to eat 15 worms.
Whoa, okay. That's a lot more worms than I thought.
It's way more worms. I could eat a worm every day, but 15 worms in one day is a no. But the bet is for $50.
Wait, when did this book come out?
1953.
Okay, $50 from 1953. Would you eat 15 worms a day for 15 days for $522?
Yes. No. Yeah. Dragon, lizard, beard. Beards!
There's Maggie, no... You have so much energy right now. It's ridiculous.
I had a coffee like 3 hours ago now. It seems like it's that might be related to this. Wow, my head is really captivating right now.
All right, lizards.